Today's daf is Yuma daf Chaf Ches. Today we finish up the second parak and begin the third parak of Maseches Yuma. The first part of the daf at the end of the second parak is pretty much a repeat of the Shakla V'Tarya from yesterday's daf, with one very critical difference. At the beginning of Amud Beis on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara had said that Rabbi Yochanan holds that a zar who's mesader samaracha is chayiv. That's one of the avodas that if a zar does, he's chayiv misa. So the whole Amud Beis of yesterday's daf dealt with the first version of Rabbi Zeira's question on that, which is, how could a zar be chayiv for Sidu Maracha? Sidu Maracha is not such a serious avoda, it's a nighttime avoda. Nighttime avodas aren't significant enough avodas for a zar to be chayiv misa on. So today we're going to have the second version of Rabbi Zeira's question on that. That's, again, suggesting Sidu Maracha is not such a significant avoda, but not because it's a nighttime avoda, but rather because it's an avoda that's not an avoda tama. There's another thing that comes after the Sidu Maracha, namely the Sidu Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. So it's not an avoda tama. Therefore, it should not be considered such a significant avoda. That takes us through, that question is going to take us pretty much through the end of the parak. Then the beginning of the third parak is going to discuss the Seder Hadvarim in the very early morning hours in the Beis HaMikdash, essentially how the day would get started when they knew that it was time to start the process of the Karban Tamid. The Gemara on the top of Amud Beis is going to have different versions of exactly which words were used to describe the first rays of sun in the morning, and then we're going to get into a discussion about how sunlight affects, how the positioning of the sun affects when we daven mincha. It's going to refer to Avram Avinu's tefilas mincha, and that's going to lead us into a whole discussion about Avram Avinu, how he was mekayim kol haTorah kula, how he was a zaken v'yoshev v'yeshiva, and then at the end of the daf we're going to go back to explaining the Mishnah and explaining some of the conversations that happened in the Mishnah and explaining the difference between sunlight and moonlight. So let us begin. We are two lines from the bottom of daf, Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. V'ikadamri. Again, this is going back to the comment of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that a zar who's mesader samaracha is chayiv. That a zar who sets up the logs on the mizbeach is chayiv, because that's an avoda that's only for kohanim. So we had mentioned yesterday how a zar can fix that by undoing it and having the kohen go ahead and do it again. But now we have the second version of Rabbi Zeira's kasha on it. V'ikadamri maskevlo Rabbi Zeira. Is there such a thing as an avoda that is followed by an avoda, meaning that has another avoda that comes after it, essentially, which is therefore not an avoda tama? So it's not that significant an avoda, and still a zar is going to be chayiv misa for doing it. It's still going to be pasul bizar, and specifically sidur maracha is not an avoda tama because there's a sidur shnei gzireitzim that comes after the sidur maracha. So it's not an avoda tama. Zar should not be chayiv on it. So first, before the Gemara answers this question, the Gemara asks whether that's really such a question. Is there really such a rule that something that's not an avodah tama, a zar is not going to be chayiv misa for it? Varei evarim upadarim, the burning of the evarim upadarim is something that is not an avodah tama, and still the zar is chayiv misa for it. Says the Gemara, yes, it is an avodah tama. Sof avodah diyamamihi, it's the end of the avodah of the day. Varei trumas hadeshen, what about trumas hadeshen? Is also not an avodah tama, because after you remove the ashes of the deshen, of the shovel full of ashes for the trumas hadeshen, ultimately, they're going to have to remove all of the ashes for the Hutsah Sadeshen. So Truma Sadeshen is not an Avodah Tama. And Sugmara, Tchilas Avodah Diyamamahi. It's the beginning of the Avodah of the day, and therefore it's considered to be a significant enough Avodah that a Zar is going to be Chayiv Misa for. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, how do I know it's the Tchilas Avodah Diyamamah, that Truma Sadeshen is the beginning of the Avodah during the day? So the same Raya we brought yesterday, Kidesh Yadav L'Truma Sadeshen, if a Kohen washes his hands for the sake of Trumas Hadeshen, L'machar Eino Tzarech L'Kadesh, Shekvar Kidesh Mitchilas Avodah. The next day, he does not have to wash his hands again, because he was already Mekadesh from the beginning of the Avodah. He was already Mekadesh Adayim from the beginning of the Avodah. So says Gemara, Ela Kasha, okay, good. Now that we've shown how Trumas Hadeshen and Evarim Upadarim are not exceptions to the rule, and that this rule actually exists, that something that's not an Avodah Tama, a Zar, is not going to be chayiv misa for. So now we're back to our question. So why is Sidur Maracha something that a zar is is chayiv misa for, it's not an avodah tama. There's something that comes after it. So says the Gemara, Eli I itmar hachi itmar. We have to alter the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, just like we did on yesterday's Amud Beis, based on the first version of Rabbi Zeru's question. That Ram Rabasi Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Zar Shesider, Shnei Gzire, Eitzim Chayiv, Hol Vavodah Tamahi. Rabbi Yochanan did not mean to say that a Zar who's Mesavdah the Ma'aracha is going to be Chayiv, but rather the Zar, because of Enochinami, that's not an Avodah Tama. A Zar who's Mesavdah the Shnei Gzire, Eitzim is going to be Chayiv, because that is an Avodah Tama, so he's going to be Chayiv for that. Frankly, Gemara Maskefla Rava Elameata Tibaye Pais. If that's the case, then it should require a pious, it should require lots, it should require drawing lots, meaning if it's such a significant avoda, this Sidur Shneg Zireitzim, that a Zar is going to be chayv on it, so why don't we draw lots to determine who gets to do the Sidur Shneg Zireitzim? So says the Gemara, we do. Velo Baye Pais. Vatanya, Misha Zacha B'chumas Adeshen, Yiske B'Sidur Shneg Zireitzim. The same lots that we draw to determine who does the Chumas Hadeshen also determines who's going to do the Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. The Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim and Chumas Hadeshen go hand in hand. So it says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar, Yefaisu Lo Bifnei Atzma. No, the Gemara says as follows, that Yefaisu Lo Bifnei Atzma, we should have drawn lots for Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim on its own. Why is it connected to the Chumas Hadeshen? If it were so significant, it should be on its own. So says the Gemara, Kedam Rinan. Well, we already explained why it's connected to Chumas Deshen, not because it's an add-on and Chumas Deshen was what was really significant. No, the Chumas Deshen was actually too insignificant to interest anybody. In order to make it more interesting and intriguing for people, we had to add on something that was very enticing, that was significant. So what we added on was Sidur Shnei Gzireitzim. So don't view the fact that there's one drawing of lots for the Chumas Hadeshen and the Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim together as a reflection of the low level of Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. Adrabah, we know better. We know that it's really a reflection of the low level that the Chumas Hadeshen was viewed as. And the Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim was actually viewed as very chashuv, and that's why it was able to sweeten the pot. That's why people were enticed by the possibility of Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. Says the Gemara, the Meimer Da'avodah Tama, Vizar Chayev Ala Misa, Baye Pais, Ein Zar Chayev Alei Misa Lo Baye Pais. Do you mean to tell me now that the rule is that in order for something to require the drawing of lots, it needs to have two qualifications? Number one, that it has to be an Avodah Tama. Number two, it has to be something that a Zar is Chayev Misa for. Is that true, that in order for anything to require a Pais, it needs to be an Avodah Tama, it needs to be the final step in the Avodah, and it needs to be something that a Zar is Chayev Misa for? Vare Shchita. Shchita is something that requires Pais, and yet Shchita is Kasher Bizar. It's not something the Azar is chayiv misa for. Azar is allowed to do shchita. So how does shchita, how does that work if shchita doesn't have the two qualifications? It says, "Mar shayni shchita detchilas avodah d'imamihi." Shchita is an exception, because shchita is the very first avodah that we do each day, and therefore it's considered significant, even though we use that same expression to describe Chumas Hadeshen as a tchilas avodah d'yamamehi. But when we say it about Chumas Hadeshen, what we're saying is that that Chumas Hadeshen is not a nighttime avodah; it's associated with the daytime avodah, even though essentially it's really a nighttime avodah. But it's associated enough with the daytime avodah that kiddush yadayim v'raglayim works, meaning we can still connect it to a daytime avoda. When we say it about shchita, it's the actual tchilas avoda d'yamam. It is the actual first thing that we do with the karban in the morning. So shchita is so significant that even though it doesn't have both of these qualities of being an avoda tama and something that is pasul bizarre, nevertheless we still do a pious for it because it's that critical. It's that important. Says the Gemara, the meimer d'avoda tama. Wait a second, is that really a rule that only something that's an avodah tama requires a pious, an avodah that has another avodah that follows it does not require a pious? So it says, what about evarim upadarim? So isn't that something that avodah sheyesh achra avodah? Says Mar sof avodah diyamamahi. Again, now evarim upadarim is the end of the avodah siyom. Hare trumas deshen. What about trumas deshen? Dashen. So again, Mishum Maisa Shaya. There's a reason why we need to do a pious for Trumas Dashen, because of the Maisa Shaya, people were killing each other, and we didn't want people to be killing each other. So that's why Trumas Dashen requires a pious. Amr Marzutra v'item Ravashi Afana Nami Tanina. So Marzutra points out that we have a raya to the idea that, as Rashi points out, to the idea that Sidur Gzirin is considered an avodatama, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, the new version of Rabbi Yochanan's statement that Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim is something that cannot be done by a zar is chayiv misa if he does Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, because Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim is considered an avodatama. We have a raya that is correct, because even that not everyone agreed to. If you remember, a few dapim ago, we had Rav and Levi give a list of which avodos a zar is chayev misa for, and Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim didn't make their list as something that a zar is chayev misa for. So the Afana Nami Tanina is highlighting that we believe that we have a raya to Rabbi Yochanan that Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim belongs on the list as something a zar is chayev misa for, not like Rav and Levi who omit it from their list. Because what's the raya? It's from the Mishnah we're about to do in 2 minutes. Amr lehem hamemuna tzu'uru u'i migia zman ha-shchita, that the mamuna, the appointed person, says that they should go out and see if the zman of shchita has arrived. But it doesn't say go see if the time to put the blocks of wood on the Mizbeach has arrived. Why doesn't it say anything about in the morning making sure you're waiting for sunrise before you go and put the blocks of wood on the Mizbeach? It must be because Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim could be done even Belaila. That's really something that could be done even at night, that you don't have to wait for morning for Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. So that's a raya that Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim is an avodatama. That is the final step of Avodas Laila, rather than a beginning step of Avodas Yom. That's why it doesn't get mentioned in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, not such a great raya. Rav and Levi could defend themselves rather easily. Hachta lesla takanta katani, hachta isla katanta lo katani. Meaning, like we said yesterday, if they were to do the shchita of the Karban Tamid too early, that would have ruined it. It would be puzzle, and that they would need to. There's no way to be misaking it. There's no way to use that same carbon again. It's too late. That animal is dead now. You need to get a new carbon tamid. You need to get a different animal for a carbon. There's no takana. There's no way to be misaking messing up on the timing of the carbon tamid. If you mess up on the timing of the Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, maybe in a chinami, Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim also had to wait for morning, but they didn't have to go out and say, and make sure it's time for Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, because that wasn't a point of emphasis, since even if they did it wrong and they did it too early, so they would be misadar it again. They'd pull it apart and be misadar it again, just like we learned you could do with the Sidur Ma'aracha. If a Zara is misadar the Ma'aracha, so if Kohanim are misadar the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim too early, they'll pull it apart and do it again, and there's a simple takana to the process. So that's why it doesn't, and at the end of the day, we are finding out if the rays of sun are there. Meaning it's just a matter of which avoda we're emphasizing that we're doing it for. So we say, oh, we're doing it for the shechita, because that's what it's more important to find out the information for. But in a chinami, that information is going to help us in determining that it's now time to do the Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim as well. Hadron Alach Barishona, that is the end of the second parak of Maseches Yuma. So now we begin the third parak. The Meiri writes that the third parak deals with three basic topics. First topic is the Avodas HaShachar, what they would do in the Beis HaMikdash each and every morning. Our Mishnah focuses exclusively on that. It was not about, our Mishnah is not about Yom Kippur per se, it's about what they would do in the Beis HaMikdash each and every morning. The second topic of the parak is the avoda of the par shel Aaron. So it starts with the avoda sasi'irum, and the pasuk says, "Bezos yavo Aaron el kodesh bepar ben bakar umeis adas bnei sol yikach shnei si'ireizim vehikras parachaz shelo velakach shnei si'irim." It's connected. The shnei si'irim go together with the par. So we're going to explain the par, but in order to get there, we're first going to talk about the si'irim also, and then the third topic of the parak is the goral that was done with the si'irim, the tarf bakalpi, the pieces of wood that they would use to do a goral to determine which one was Sila Hashem, which one was Sila Azazel, etc. So that's what we're going to have in this perek. Now in the Torah in general, the halacha is most halachos of the day begin with Alos HaShachar, meaning the mitzvos that apply during the day, the mitzvah applies starting at Alos HaShachar. Shachar. The Rambam says that this the time of Alos HaShachar is 1 1/5 hours before Netzach Hamah, and that's when the rays of sun could be seen on the eastern side of the sky, and that's what the Kohen would wait for when he wanted to shech the Karban Tamid. So we're going to see a lot of there is a Mishnah Megillah that lists off many mitzvahs where the Zman is Biyom that you're not supposed to do until sunrise, until Netzach Hamah, and only B'diyevet, if you do it at a Melech Shachar, it's going to be kosher. But by the Karban Tamid, it's not a B'diyevet. By the Karban Tamid, it's a Din L'chadchila. That L'chadchila, we don't have to wait till Netzach Hamah, we don't have to wait until sunrise, we could do it right away. We're supposed to do it right away at Alos HaShachar. The Ramban explains that in a mitzvah that the Iker Zman of the mitzvah is the all day long, it's the entire day, so the Chacham were Koveya that L'chadchila, we should do it at Netzach Hamah, which is the day that's very, very, which is a time that's very, very clearly day. The sun is very visible, but Alos HaShachar is not something that everyone is a bucky in knowing when it actually is Alos HaShachar. Netzach Hamah, you just look in the sky. If the sun is there, you hit Netzach Hamah. If the sun's not there, you haven't hit Netzach Hamah. Exactly how many degrees below the horizon the sun has to be before you get to Alos HaShachar, you need a Zmanim expert. You need someone who really knows what they're doing to be able to determine what's Alos HaShachar. So the Chachamim determined that any mitzvah that's all day long, we should do when it's Vadayom, so that everyone will be able to do it. But mitzvah of the Karban Tamid, which is Tasa Baboker, which is Tamid Shel Shachar, the Torah wanted it to be done at the beginning of the day. So there's a requirement to do it as early as possible. So since there's a requirement, do it as early as possible. So we do it. We do it at that earlier time. That's how the Ramban explains. The Sefer Minchas Kohen, one of the classical Svarim on Zmanim, Sefer Minchas Kohen gives a different reason. He says that mitzvos that are given l'kol adam, we have to worry that people are going to mess up with the Zman Alos HaShachar. The Karban Tamid wasn't just something that everybody did. It was brought by the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. They're not going to mess up. They'll be sure to make sure that they understand that they know for sure when it's actually Alos HaShachar to bring the Karban Tamid. So we're not as worried about them messing up as we would be about having other people mess up if we had to make all mitzvos hayom really dependent as a l'chadchila matter on Alos HaShachar, and that's why we don't. Other mitzvos hayom we make dependent on Netzach Hamah midrabanan. The Beis Yosef writes that the zman of Tfilas HaShachar is mishayaskil im it's shayaskil im haNetzach Hamah, that ideally we should daven im haNetzach Hamah yiru'ucha im shemesh. This is based on the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. But if a person davens from Amud HaShachar and it's already Heir Pnei Mizrach, he's Yotzei. And that's the earliest man of Tefillah is already back at Amud HaShachar. The L'chadchila's man of Tefillah is at Netzach Hamah. He's davening at Shmona Esrei, Mamish at Netz. So the Zman of Amud HaShachar is the Zman of Heir Pnei Mizrach, and before that is Laila. Before that is considered to be Laila. Okay, so let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Amalem HaMamuna, the guy who was appointed to do this, the Sagan, would say, Tzu'uru'u migi Zman HaShchita. Send someone out to go see if the Zman Shchita has arrived, if it's time to shech the Karban Tamid. Imigia haroa omer barkai. If in fact the Zman Shchita arrived, then the roa would scream out barkai. That was his way of saying that it was light outside, that there was enough rays of light to go ahead with the Karban Tamid. Masi ben Shmuel omer heir pnei kol mizrach ad shebechevron vu omer hein. That they would say is the sun is the eastern side of the sky lit all the way until Chevron, and he would say yes it is. V'lama hutzruchu l'kach. Why was this necessary? Shepam achas olam ma'orat. Meaning, why do you have to? Why don't you just look in the sky and see if it's? You have to send someone out to look from the top to see you across the horizon. Just if when it seems like it's Alos HaShachar, when the sun, when you see the rays of sun, so it's Alos HaShachar. What do you have to have a special? And you have to double check him. Is it really there? So why is this necessary? Shepam achas olam ma'or halavana. Because one time the moon was shining particularly brightly, v'dimu sheheir mizrach, and they thought that those rays of light were already the first rays of of sunlight, v'shachtu es tamid, and they shachted the carbon tamid, v'otziu lebeis ha-srefa, and they had to be motzi the carbon tamid to the beis ha-srefa. So that was an unfortunate incident that they didn't want to repeat. So in order to avoid that, they have this whole process in place. So good. So the Rashi explains that it became nifsal because it was nishchat belayla, and the pasuk says biyom zivchachem. The Rabbeinu Chananel says because it says es hakeves echad tasev aboker, that the svara, the psul, is a prat in the dinim of the karmat tamid, that the zman of the karmat tamid is in boker. You don't need a more general reason of a psul of shchitas kachim belayla. Rashi sounds like the din of boker of the karmat tamid is not the cause of the psul. The cause of the psul is a general psul that we have by all karbanos, that it's that they can't be done belayla. The Mikdash David just raised the question. According to the Rabbeinu Chananel, granted it's lo ala l'shem chova, but it shouldn't be a reason to pasul and to be lovel beis hasreifa because it was shechted kodem zmano. But if you, according to Rashi, we understand that any karban, not just karban tam, but any karban shechted at night would be brought lebeis hapsul. So anyway, so the Mishnah goes on. Haridu koin gadol beis hatfil. They would bring the Kohen Gadol down to the Beis HaTefillah. This is as Rashi points out over here, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, Mefarish Lo B'Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain what's going on over here. Why is the Kohen Gadol right now heading to the Beis HaTefillah? Especially the whole first part of the mission wasn't about the Kohen Gadol at all. It wasn't even about Yom Kippur. It was just about what they would do each and every day. The Sfasemis is Medayik, that only when the Roa was Machriz, that the Zman Shechita arrived, that's when the Kohen Gadol went to be Tovel. But before that, Belayla, the Tefillah wouldn't work. And he says the reason is because the Rav Chista is going to say in the Gemara that Chamish Tvilos Vasar Kiddushin Tovel Kohen Gadol Mekadish Bo B'Yom, that there are 5 Tvilos and ten washings of the hands and feet that the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur. So whether that's Alech Al Moshe Misinai or whether we darshan that from Psukim, but all of them need to be by Yom, so that's why the Kohen Gadol would dafka wait until it was very clearly day, and they announced it as clearly day before he would be tovel. The Tosi Shanim raised the question: Why doesn't it count 6 tefillos? Because he was also tovel before the Trumas Hadashen, and the Tosi Shanim is going to say that they only count 5 because there are only 5 that are done by Yom before the Trumas Hadashen is Balayla. So anything that's Balayla is not going to count. That fits in very nicely to what our Mishnah is trying to say. Okay, let's see weiter. So Zeaklal, this is the rule that emerges from our mission. This is the rule that emerges in terms of the tefillah of a Kohen Gadol. Zeaklal Hayyab Mikdash. This was the rule in the base of Mikdash. Kalamesach has raglav, toon tefillah. Anyone who would defecate would require tefillah. If the Kohen would defecate, he would need tefillah before doing anything. But kalamatul mayim, toon kiddushadayim vraglayim. And if he urinated, then he only needed kiddushadayim vraglayim from the key. Or he didn't have to actually do a tevila. Why is it called Mesach Hesraglav? So Rashi points out, Loshon Mesach Kmo Ilan HaMesach HaLa'aretz. It's like a tree is described as hovering over, like tenting over the land. Lufisha Hatzarech L'Nekavim Gedolim Koreal Birchavim Mechasa Gufo Vesraglav. Because the way a person goes to the bathroom in a tsenua way is that when he sits down, he covers his legs with some type of cloth, that he covers himself up. So that's why it's called Mesach. Mesach Hesraglav, because he would actually it was actually a physical description of what he would do, that he would be covering his legs. Okay, says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Lomer, it's just the Gemara is first going to start with a whole bunch of different versions of exactly what Lashon was used to describe the sun coming up in the morning, the rays of sun coming up in the morning, and therefore the time of shechting the Karban Tamid. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Barak Barka, he would say, Barak Barkai. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Allah Barkai. He would say Allah Barkai. Nechuma ben Apakshion Omer. I don't know how often that name comes up in Shas. Af Barkai bechevron. He would say Af Barkai bechevron. Masi ben Shmuel Amun al Piyasos Omer. Heir pnei kol Mizrach ad shebechevron. He would say that right away. He would say that the whole side of the eastern sky is lit up all the way till Chevron. Rabbi Ben Seir Omer. Heir pnei kol Mizrach ad bechevron. That is Heir pnei kol Mizrach not ad shebechevron but ad bechevron. V'yotzo kalam ish ish l'malachto. And once that happened, so then it was morning time. So everyone started going out to their jobs. Everyone went out to work. So it says, "Wait, ihach tuva. If it's time that everyone's going out to work already, that's a little bit later. That's not when, at al mura shachar, everyone's ready going out to work. That's a pretty early start to a work day. So the Gemara says, liskar polim kamrina. No, we're talking about not everybody going out to work. People who need to hire workers by the day, so they have to go out a little earlier to find their workers before the actual work day starts. So it was at that point that people who needed to hire that day's workers would go out at that point. Amar of Safrat, Slusei d'Avram, Mechi Mashchuri Kosli. The prayer of Avram Avinu is when the wall gets dark. So what's this talking about? So the Slusei d'Avram over here is a reference to Tfilas Ha'erev, Rashi says. His mincha, Avram Avinu's mincha, was when the walls would get dark. Meaning, there was a wall that faced the eastern side of the sky, and when the sun would rise, the wall would become light, the sun would shine on the wall, and as soon as he hit Chatzos Hayom, where the sun was directly overhead, so that eastern surface of the wall was no longer light, because the sun wasn't shining on it, the sun was shining down from on top. So that wall would be in a slight shadow. So as soon as that happens, as soon as that wall is in a slight shadow, which means 1 minute after Chatzos, as soon as that wall is in a slight shadow, that's the time of the tefillah of Avram Avinu, the tefillah of Mincha. Wait a second. The tefillah of Avram Avinu is the tefillah of Mincha? We know that the Gemara Maseches Brachos says that there's a machlokus where the tefillos are keneged tmidim tiknum or tefillos are keneged avos tiknum. If tefillos are keneged the avos, so each av has their own tefillah. Avram's tefillah was not tefillas mincha. Avram's Yitzchak's tefillah was mincha. Avram's tefillah was shachris. So why is it called Susei d'Avram? So if you look in the Tos Yishanim in the side of the page, Tos Yishanim says, Vim tomar v'amrinim perek tefillos hashach Shachar daf chavzayin and bezim brachos Yitzchak tikein tefilas mincha shenemar veyetsa Yitzchak lasuach basada. It wasn't it Yitzchak's tefila. So says the Yishanim Yeshlomer the acher shetikne Yitzchak haya omra gam Avram. Well, Avram Avinu listened to takanos chachamim, and if Yitzchak made a takana, so Avram Avinu listened to that takana also. So if Yitzchak made a takana that everyone's got to daven mincha, Avram davened also. Kach pirush Rabbeinu Tam. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. But still, that's why we call it Slusei d'Avram. Why would we call it Slusei d'Avram? Maybe Avram was the one who was very makbid about the zman of mincha, about dafka, you know, at that moment, at the first moment to daven mincha, that's what Avram Avinu's midav's rizos came in, where he wanted to daven mincha right away. So he wasn't the one that was misak in the mincha, but the mincha of Avram Avinu was at chatzos in 1 minute. It was right away. It wasn't waiting. Inami omer Rabbi, demikol makom haya omer Avram mitchila, el shalo asal klal l'kol b'nei beso, ad shetikni Yitzchak. Tafilu erivitz of shiluk, or the other possibility is Avram Avinu, of course, was the first one to daven mincha. Avram Avinu daven mincha way before Yitzchak was ever misaking it. Yitzchak just thought it was such a good idea that it should be a takana for their entire household, that everyone, that all their clan, everyone they were makarev, and everybody that followed them should start doing this. Until then, it was a personal chumrah that Avram Avinu had, that he davened this thing called mincha. But he was the one that really that really started the concept of tefillas mincha. So those are two possibilities that the Tos Yishanim raises. Tos Rid says that the Gemara over here is not talking about the Avos being Mesakein the Tfilos. Our Gemara is working with the other Shita in Meseches Brachos that the Tfilos are connected to Tmidim. So since Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, so he was really Mesakein all the Tfilos, meaning this works against that Shita in Brachos, that each of the Avos were Mesakein the Tfilos. No, the Tfilos are connected to the Tmidim, and who is Mesakein all the Tfilos? Avram Avinu, because he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. The Ben Yoyada suggests that the reason it's attributed to Avram Avinu is because Avram Avinu was the first one to daven, so that means the first one to be misaki in any tefillah. So the first one to be misaki in any tefillah was Poseach the Pesach HaTefillah. He's the one that started the idea of being misaki in tefillahs, and therefore all subsequent tefillos are Nikra al Shemo. He's credited with all of them because none of them would have happened without him. Okay, so anyway, that's when the tefillah of Avram Avinu is. Amar Rav Yosef, Anan me Avram Nekum v'Nigmar. What, are we supposed to learn from Avram Avinu? We're supposed to learn from Avram Avinu how to, we have no way to be as zariz as Avram Avinu, Rashi explains. So we can't. How are we supposed to learn from Avram Avinu? So Amar Rava, Tana Gamer Me Avram Vanan Lo Gamer Me Minei. What do you mean? We learn from Avram's Rizos all the time. We have another halacha where we derive straight from Avram's Rizos. Why can't we learn when to daven mincha from Avram Avinu? After all, the Tanya, we have a brisa that tells us about the timing of a bris mila as follows: Ubayom Hashmini Yimal Besar Alaso Melamit Shekal Hayom Kasha Lemila. Ubayom Hashmini Yimal Besar Alaso teaches us that the entire day is kasher for bris mila. Ella shaz reason makdim in the mitzvah shenemar v'yashkem Avram baboker. Why is every bris mila that you go to pretty much in the morning, except for if the baby just gets healthy enough for a bris, later in the afternoon? But most of the time, when we plan a bris, the bris is always in the morning because the pasuk says v'yashkem Avram baboker v'yachavosh etc. So we learn from that pasuk that zrizin makdim in the mitzvahs. So it's dafka the zrizos of Avram Avinu that we learn from when it comes to determining a bris mila. Why should the zrizos of Avram Avinu be so difficult to learn from when it comes to Tfilas Mincha? Ella Amar Rava Rav Yosef Haka Kashale. Now, what really bothered Rav Yosef was the following. Not that, how could we learn from Avram Avinu? He was so much better, he's so beyond us, we can't learn from him. No, this is what bothered us. Ditnan Chalar Vepsachon Lios Berav Shabbos Nishchat B'Sheishu Mechza V'Karav B'Shevu Mechza. That the Mishnah in Tamin Nishchat, in the fifth parak of Pesachim, had said that when Erev Pesach falls out on Erev Shabbos, so we have to do the Karban Tamid much, much earlier in order to allow time for the Karban Pesach, for both the Shechita and the roasting of the Karban Pesach to all be done before Shabbos arrives. So we would do the Karban Tamid so early, 6.5 hours into the day. So frankly, Gemara, V'nishkatei michi mishachri kosli. Why did we wait that long? Shouldn't we? The halacha is, Mida Oraisa, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim is kosher as soon as Chatzos, right after Chatzos, as soon as you pass 6 hours of the day. Why did we wait till 6.5 hours into the day? We should have done it right away. After all, Avram Avinu daven mincha 6 hours and 1 minute into the day. Why can't we shech the Karban Tamid 6 hours and 1 minute into the day? So to that, the Gemara has three answers. So my kushy v'dilma kolse debeis hamikdash b'sheishu mechza meshachri mishum dol mechavni tuva. You know how perfectly straight you have to build a wall so for it to get for the surface of the eastern surface of the wall to get dark at 6 hours and 1 minute. Maybe the kolse debeis hamikdash weren't built so perfectly that they actually got dark at 6 hours and 1 minute. So as far as they could tell, it took till 6.5 hours into the day until they knew for sure that they were actually past Chatzos. Inami, or Shiny Avram did Stagninus Gedola Heisa Belibo. Or, forget about our expertise, Avram Avinu's expertise was so much greater than ours in knowing how the stars worked. He was always looking at the stars. He was dreaming about how his children were going to be like the stars. So Avram Avinu knew how things worked up in the sky, so he had a much clearer picture of exactly when Chatzos was. He was able to hit the nail on the head to get it exactly right. We're not. Inami, Mishum Dezakin V'yoshi B'Shiva Hava. Or because he was always learning Torah, so he had that ability to be able to cheshbin the Zman exactly correctly. But we're not. Again, we're not able to mimic Avram Avinu on that level. Now, parenthetically, Tosos mentions over here on the bottom of Amud Aleph that what do we learn from the Pasuk V'yashkem Avram Baboker? We learn that Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvos, that when a person does a bris mila, it should be done early in the morning because Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvos. Tosos points out that the Gemara Maseches Pesachim asks about doing bedikas chametz. The Gemara, the very first word in Maseches Pesachim is or, and that word means night. The Gemara spends two dapim translating the word. It means that on the night of the of Erev Pesach, we do bedikas chametz. So the Gemara on Daf Dalet just asks a very fundamental question. After it clarifies for two dapim that the word means night, and that's when we actually do bedikas chametz, the Gemara says, why do we do it at night? Why don't we check for chametz in the morning? Chametz is not going to become asr until chatzos. So why don't we check for chametz in the morning when it's closer to the zman iser? After all, don't we say by bris mila that kol yom is kasher lemila and zrizim makdim lemitzvos vayashkem avram baboker, where that the zrizus of a mitzvah would be in the morning? So it's not even an inyan of zrizus to do it at night. The zrizus would be to do it early in the morning. So you're saying you don't want to do it later in the day when it's very close to the zman iser because you want to do zrizus, but do it in the morning, the Gemara asks. So ask Tosfos over here, Hechi gamar mehalcha deins reason makdim in meyorta. How can we use this pasuk, Vayashkem Avram Boker, to teach us that Zrizim Makdim in the Mitzvot does not apply at night? Dilma Mashavram lo Amid Balaila, Mishum de Tamil Chacham lo Yetze, de Tamil Chacham lo Yetze Yechidi Balaila, Kedam Parakid Anasha. Maybe the reason, maybe really these reasons already applies the night before. And the reason Avram Avinu didn't go out the night before to do the Mila is because Avram Avinu knew the halacha that a Tamil Chacham is not supposed to go out alone at night. So that's why his rizus was that morning. But maybe our rizus should be the night before. How does the Gemara just naturally assume that because it says Vayashkem Avram Boker, that our rizus for any mitzvah should be only in the morning? Maybe if it doesn't involve going out alone at night, this rizus should be the night before. So he said, Yeshlom du mishum hachilo Avram nimna milahashkem b'layla kim d'shluchim mitzvah nizakin. Now, if that were it, Avram Avinu would not have hesitated to go out at night. He would have ignored the requirement of not going out alone at night because of Zrizim Akhtim L'mitzvahs, because Shulchim Mitzvah Nizak, and he was on his way to do a mitzvah. But Frek tells us, Viter, still, the idea that Lo Yetzir Chidi B'Layla, where do we learn that from? Also from Vayashkem Avram Baboker. We learn from Vayashkem Avram Baboker. And furthermore, Tosfos says, since Shluchim Mitzvah Nizakin, why don't we go out at night? Because Tamid Chacham Al Yetzir Yechidi Belayla. Meaning, we're saying that it was Avram Avinu himself that didn't go out at night because Tamid Chacham don't go out at night. But wait a second. Now we're saying that Avram Avinu did it in the morning because Zrizim Akhtim L'mitzvos. And Zrizim Akhtim L'mitzvos doesn't apply the night before because a Tamil Chacham doesn't go out at night. But why doesn't the mitzvah protect him? Shouldn't he be allowed to go out at night and the mitzvah will protect him? And you don't have to worry about Tamid Chacham Al Yetzir Yechidi B'Layla? So how could the same pasuk be teaching us all of these different things that seem to conflict with each other? So it says Tosfos, it's not the same pasuk. There are two pasukim of Vayashkem Avram Baboker. One time where he goes to do a bris milah, then he's a shluchim mitzvah. So shluchim mitzvah, we learn from that pasuk that that Avram Avinu certainly would have gone out at night for that. He wouldn't have been worried about being hurt or being damaged in any way. And the reason he goes out only in the morning is because rizus only applies in the morning; it doesn't apply the night before. That's the drashim pesachim davdalid. And then there's another pasuk Vayashkem Avram Boker when he goes to daven for Sodom. There was no mitzvah to daven for Sodom. He was going to change Hashem's mind. The mitzvah is to do the ratzon Hashem. The ratzon Hashem was to destroy Sodom. He was trying to convince Hashem to do differently. That's not a mitzvah. So he wasn't on his way to go to do a mitzvah. So from that pasuk we learn from that Avram Avinu only went out in the morning, not the night before. Why not? Nothing to do with rizus. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah. He didn't go out the night before because Tamil Chacham Al Yetzir Yechidi B'Layla. And he was all alone in davening for Sodom. No one else was davening for Sodom. When he goes to the Mila, he's not all alone, but he's all alone when he goes to davening for Sodom. So it's two separate Vayashkem Avram Babokers. Says Gemara Vayter now, back on Amud Beis over here, after we give these three answers about how Avram Avinu was different from us. So Dam Rav Chaim Bar Chanin, the last answer was that Avram Avinu was a Zaken V'Yoshe B'Yeshiva. So Am Rav Chaim Bar Chanin, Mimein Shal Avaseinu Lo Parshi Yeshiva Mehem. From the days of our forefathers, they always had yeshiva. Wherever they were, there was always someone sitting and learning. Hayu b'Mitzrayim, yeshiva imahim. When they were in Mitzrayim, yeshiva was with them. I think this counts as a daf yomi coincidence on Erev Shabbos Parshas Vayigash, because that's when the yeshiva was set up in Mitzrayim, where Yehuda was sent to go set up the yeshiva. Hayu b'Mitzrayim, yeshiva imahim. So they were in Mitzrayim, they had a yeshiva there. Shenemar, how do I know they had a yeshiva there? So it doesn't quote the pasuk from our parsha. It quotes in a couple of weeks. Leich v'safta zikne Yisrael. There were zikne Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to gather the Ziknei Yisrael. How could there be Ziknei Yisrael if there's no yeshiva? Zaken means not just an old person. Zaken, the Torah has a different term to describe an old person. A seva is an old person. Mipnei seva takum v'adarta pnei zaken. The Gemara in Kedushin says zaken means zeshe kana chachma. It's an utrikon of ze kana. It's someone who has acquired wisdom. So you can only acquire wisdom if you're yoshev b'yeshiva. So obviously, if there were zakenim, there was a yeshiva. Hayu b'midbar yeshiva imam. When they were in the desert, yeshiva was with them. Shnemar asvili if Shivim ish mizikne Yisrael. Avram Avinu zaken v'yoshev yeshiva haya. Avram Avinu himself was a zaken v'yoshev yeshiva. Shneamar v'Avram zaken baba yamin. Yitzchak Avinu zaken v'yoshev yeshiva haya. Shneamar v'yiki zaken Yitzchak. Anyone who's described as a zaken was yoshev yeshiva. Yaakov Avinu zaken v'yoshev yeshiva haya. Shneamar v'ein Yisrael kavdu mizoken. Now, if there's ever a pasuk that sounds like the word zikna means old age, it's that one. That ein his eyes grew dim mizoken from old age, but still, it doesn't say miseva. The fact that it describes it as zoken tells us that it's that he was also zaken v'yoshev yeshiva. Eliezer Eved Avram zaken v'yoshev yeshiva haya. Even Eliezer was zaken v'yoshev yeshiva. Shneamar v'yomer Avram el avdo zakan beso hamoshel b'chalashel Hello. So Amar Blazar, what does it mean that he ruled over all that belonged to Avraham Avinu? Shemoshel b'toras Rabbo, not just his money, but his Torah. Hu damesek Eliezer. He's described as damesek Eliezer. Amar Blazar shadolu umashka mitoras shel Rabbo la'acherim. He was able to draw on his Rebbe's Torah and Avraham Avinu's Torah and supply it to others. Amar Rav, Kiyam Avram Avinu Kala Torah Kula. Avram Avinu was Mekayim the entire Torah. Shnemar Ekev Asher Shama Avram Bekoli. That Avram had listened to my voice. Amar Rav Simi Barchia L'Rav Ve'ima Sheva Mitzvos. How do you know that that refers to Kala Torah Kula? Maybe he only observed the Sheva Mitzvos. So Ha'ika Nami Mila. No, because we know he observed Mila also, so he could not have been limited to the Sheva Mitzvos. Ve'ima Sheva Mitzvos U'Mila. Okay, maybe he did the Sheva Mitzvos and Mila. How do you know that he did Kala Torah Kula? Why does it say double expression, both mitzvosai and torosai? Amar, what's the girsa? Amar Rava. Avitem Ravashi. Kiyam Avram Avinu Afilu Eruve Tavshilin. Avram Avinu was Mekayim everything, even Eruve Tavshilin. If you look at the last line of Tosfos Yeshanim on the page, he says, Lo Yada Rebbe, Amai Nakad Hach Mitzvah, Amai Kilu Le Tvei Mikulhu. Obviously, when we say Afilu Eruve Tavshilin, we're trying to pick the smallest imaginable mitzvah, and we're saying, oh, he even did that, he even did this minor detail. So Tosfos Yeshanim says, I don't know why we're hating on Eruv Tavshilin. What did Eruv Tavshilin do wrong? That we pick Eruv Tavshilin as the smallest, tiniest possible mitzvah. As, oh, he even did that. Shenemar Torah Sai, Achas Torah Shebuksav, Achas Torah Shebal Peh. So a couple of points over here. There's a major discussion in the Achronim about how it's possible that that the Avos from Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, if no one had a status of a Yisrael, of a full-fledged Jew, until later on in history, till Kabbalah HaTorah, and the halacha is in Nachri Sheshavas, is Chayiv Misa, that a guy who keeps Shabbos is Chayiv Misa, so how could it be that the Avos kept the Torah? So that's part of the real question. The Mishnah Melech has a long essay in Parashas Drachim where he tries to figure out, were the Avos Jews or were they not Jews? Did they have a status of Yisrael? Did they have a status of Bnei Noach? A long, long discussion, back and forth, Raya's back and forth, and his conclusion actually is that they themselves didn't know. It was too difficult to Shaila to figure out, and they themselves had a din of a Safik Yisrael, Safik Ben Noach. So that caused all the Achronim to get really excited, because when you know you're a Jew, you know what your job in life is, you know what you're supposed to do. When you know you're a non-Jew, you know what you're supposed to do. When you're a Safik Yisrael, Safik Ben Noach, you have a problem, because you don't know what to do about Shabbos. Meaning, what's a person going to do about Shabbos when he's Safik Yisrael, Safik Ben Noach? The halach is a goy Shabbos is chayiv misa. A Jew is not Shabbos is chayiv misa. So what do you do about Shabbos? So there are 10 different answers or so in the Achronim about how the Avos handled the issue of Shabbos. In the Panim Yafos, he suggests that before Matan Torah, the halacha was that Hayom Halayla Holech Achar Hayom, that a Goy Shabbos Chayiv Misa, the halacha is a Goy Shabbos is if he's Shoves on Shabbos day and Motzoy Shabbos, not on Friday night. So they would do malacha on Motzai Shabbos, and they wouldn't violate Goy Shabbos Chayiv Misa. And there are many more very, very creative suggestions. We're not going to have time to go into them right now. It also there's also a question. The Gemara emphasizes that Avram Avinu was observed Kol HaTorah Kula. Kiyam Avram Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula. And what about Yitzchak? And what about Yaakov? We describe them as Zaken V'yoshev B'yeshiva. We do not describe them as being Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. So there are Midrashim that seem to indicate that they were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. The Medrash Rabbim Bereishis says about Yaakov Vinu Vayichanas Pnei Eir, that Nichnas Be'erev Shabbosim Dimdume Chama Mibod Yom V'kova Tchumim Mibod Yom, that he set up his Tchum Shabbos Mibod Yom. Yaakov Vinu setting up Tchum Shabbos is an indication that that he was observing Eruv, maybe not Eruv Tavshilin, but at least Eruv Tchumim. He was observing some very detailed halachos in Hilchas Shabbos. Sounds like he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. Medrash Rabbim Bereishis Sadi Beis Tvach Tavach Vachain, last week's parasha, Ein Vachain El Shabbos, that Vachain is a reference to Shabbos, that Vayu B'yom HaShishi V'yechinu, that we have Hachana for Shabbos, so Vachain is a reference to Shabbos. So you see that Yosef kept Shabbos. The Baal Turim says that Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim kept Shabbos and they kept Mila. The Baal Turim in Parsha Shmos, at the very beginning of Parsha Shmos. So there are many indications in Midrashim that the Avos kept Shabbos. However, there's a Tshuvas HaRamah, Simen Vav, where the Ramah says that no, Gemara says Avram Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula. Nobody else. It was just Avram Avinu. It wasn't anybody else. So everyone wonders what does Ramah do with all these Midrashim? Okay, that's the kashas on the Ramah. Let's see a little bit further. So says the Gemara, Masi ben Shmuel Omer, Vu Omer Hein. The Masi ben Shmuel The Mishnah had said had said. I'm sorry. Before we even get to that, maybe we could save that for tomorrow. Just mention one more important discussion that comes up over here. The Achronim also raised the question. The Rishonim raised the question: if the Avos in fact kept Kol HaTorah Kula, let's assume that even Yaakov kept Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Rishonim discussed Yaakov Avinu marrying two sisters. So the Ramban famously says that yeah, Yaakov Avinu married two sisters outside of Eretz Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael he kept Kol HaTorah Kula. So Klei Chamda raises the question: what was his plan? Meaning, was he hoping for Rachel to die? His plan the whole time was to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So what did he think was going to happen? Why? How could he marry two sisters with the plan of going back to Eretz Yisrael, saying that, oh, it's only in Chutz Laaretz that you have to, that you don't have to keep Kol, it's only in Eretz Yisrael you have to keep Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Klei Chamda suggests that the issur is not in being married to two sisters, the issur is in marrying two sisters. So he figured that as long as he marries them outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's okay. He can still stay married to them in Eretz Yisrael. The Ribbono Shalom paskened against him, obviously, by Rachel dying before him getting back to Eretz Yisrael. But that's how the Klei Chamda suggests was his cheshbon. Another kasha that they all ask is, if Avraham Avinu was mekayim kol HaTorah Kula, why did he wait so long to do a bris milah? He was keeping a ruvei tavshilin long before then. Why didn't he do bris milah earlier? So the some of the Achronim say that he knew that he was going to be mitzvah. So if it was a mitzvah that he's only going to be able to do once, and he knows that it's going to come up that he's going to be mitzvah one day, so he doesn't want to do it as an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, he's never going to have a chance to do it as a Mitzvah V'yosa then. So he wanted to wait till he's a Mitzvah V'yosa to do it at that time. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow.